Hello everyone and welcome to the Calzona Board Minicast. I'm Becca and I'm your host. I'm sorry this is a little late, but I've had a sore throat and I couldn't talk for about 3 days, so I figured better late than never. To give my voice a little rest, this week's topic is great speeches in Gray's history, so there will be a lot of clips this week. I apologize to people who don't particularly care for that. These aren't in a particular order, they're not my top 10 list. I thought I would just share with you the speeches and what I really liked about them. The first speech is the It's Unbearable speech by Christina Yang.
There. My sexual relationship, President Burke, on paper. Satisfied?
I know this is difficult for
you. It's not difficult, sir. It is simple. Burke is not here. He's gone. And he's the better for it. He's winning the Harper Avery Award and being celebrated all over the world. That is not difficult. He's out there. And I'm here. Where everything is the same. I still live in his apartment. I walk the same halls at this hospital. I wear the same scrubs. Not even that is not difficult. This is where I am. This is where I choose to be. But sir, when his hand was shaking, I performed his surgeries. I kept his secrets. I nursed his pride. You know it, and I know it, and he knows it. He knows it. And yet nowhere in that newspaper article does my name appear. I am the unseen hand to his brilliance. Excuse me. And yet while everything is the same, it's very, very different. Now I'm lucky if I get to hold a clamp. Han treats me like I was his hand, and now I'm a ghost. That's not difficult. It's unbearable. I know everybody is proud of him, but I'm not. And I do not wish him well.
One thing I really love about this speech is we don't see Christina kind of have emotional moments. And this is kind of her breaking down and saying, I was, you know, his hand. I was an equal to him in there. I was doing the work. And now I'm doing nothing. And you see her kind of deal with that in not her usual sarcastic way. It's a very emotional Christina moment. And I love that. And I wish we had more of it. But on the other hand, I think if we got more of it, we'd get sick of it and miss her snarkiness. So I think they play it really, really well on not giving her too much of the emotion, giving her kind of that straight-laced and then having her throw speeches like this at every once in a while. Next up is the Dr. Model speech.
We have Bethany Whisper in our locker room.
Oh, boy. I guess they do airbrush out the tattoo, don't they?
You want to see it? You really want to see it? Fine. Let's look at that tattoo up close and personal, shall we? What are these? Oh, my God. Breasts. How does anybody practice medicine hauling these things around? And when we got back here, let's see if I remember my anatomy. Glutes, right? Let's study them. Shall we gather around and check out the booty that put Izzy Stevens through med school? Have you had enough, or should I continue? Because I have a few more very interesting tattoos. You want to call me Dr. Model? That's fine. Just remember that while you're sitting on 200 grand of student loans, I'm out of debt.
This is the last time I honestly liked Izzy, so I had to include this speech for that reason only. I'm not a huge Izzy person, and I know people out there are. I didn't particularly care for her, I didn't particularly feel invested in her, but I loved her in this scene, and I loved her speech about, you know, you want to call me Dr. Model? Fine. I'm still the doctor. I'm, you know, you gotta respect me for my skills, even if you don't respect me for how I got through medical school. So, I had to throw it in there. Next up is the speech Meredith gives her father to get him to take part of her liver.
You're the guy who used to pour my cereal in the morning. That's it. That's all I remember about you. You're not my father. You're just the guy who used to pour my cereal. And if you die, it probably won't change my life that much. But it will change hers. If you die, it will break her. And I'm not going to let you do that. I don't know what it's like to have a father. But I do know what it's like to have a sister. And it's good. And if we can get through this, then the door will be open for us to get to know each other. The door's open.
I pretty much love everything about this speech. I love that Meredith and Lexi have this relationship now where Meredith is doing something she really doesn't want to or doesn't care to do because she wants to help out her baby sister. I love that they finally got to that point in their relationship. I love that after, you know, Meredith brushing Lexi off and wanting nothing to do with her, you know, they have this relationship now, and I love it, and I hope they build on the Thatcher and Meredith relationship in the future. Next up is the traitorous bitch speech from Callie Torres to Izzy Stevens.
Callie, wait, please, wait, please. I'm sorry about the cafeteria. I didn't know that you wanted to talk to me. I thought you wanted to kill me. Sorry about everything. It was George. I'm really sorry. I feel terrible. You feel terrible? You took advantage. She was your best friend. I tried to trust you. So much I'd convinced myself that it was all in my head, that I was crazy, but I wasn't, was I? And then you pull that thing in the cafeteria today. It's not bad enough that you humiliate me by getting in bed with my husband. You have to humiliate me at work, too. George may be the one that broke his vows, but you were women. I see you did this to another woman. You took something from me. You stole something from me like a petty little thief. You are the one who should be humiliated. You are the one who should be ashamed. You are the one who should... Now you dare come to me for forgiveness, you traitorous bitch.
I love seeing Callie put Izzy in her place because Izzy's kind of been acting like, you know, oh, I slept with somebody's boyfriend. And to Callie, this is a marriage. It might not be, you know, a marriage under the best circumstances, but she's married to George, and as we know more about her past, we know her upbringing, and we know how serious that is to her. And I think it really, really hurt Callie when George broke his vows, and part of that was because Izzy was the one that got in bed with him. So I think she's rightly angry at Izzy as much as George. So I liked seeing her come out in that speech. This is the first Gray speech. This is Bailey's five rules for her interns.
I have five rules. Memorize them. Rule number one, don't bother sucking up. I already hate you. That's not going to change. Trauma protocol, phoneless pagers. Nurses will page you. You'll answer every page at a run. A run! That's rule number two. Your first shift starts now and lasts 48 hours. Your interns, grunts, nobodies, bottom of the searchable food chain. Run labs, write orders, work every second night until you drop, and don't complain. On call rooms. Contendings hog them, sleep when you can, where you can, which brings me to rule number three. If I'm sleeping, don't wake me unless your patient is actually dying. Rule number four, the dying patient better not be dead when I get there. Not only would you have killed someone, you would have woke me for no good reason. We clear? Yes.
You said five rules, that was only four.
Rule number five, when I move, you move.
I really don't think I need to tell everybody why that's an awesome speech. That's just Bailey being Bailey, and it's awesome. The next clip is Lexi's speech after Meredith says she needs to keep a better eye on their father.
In the ER today.
I know.
So, you know, he was drunk and he put his hand through a window.
Yeah. Anything else?
I know it was Susan's birthday, and I'm sure it was a very hard day for the both of you. And he wasn't actually a problem. He was kind of charming, but he seemed very sad, and I'd hate to see it happen again, so maybe you should think about keeping a better eye on him. Every day is my mother's birthday. My mother was born in March.
He lied. He's a liar. And I'm glad. Really, I'm glad that you found him charming. I'm sure he was delightful. He's a blast after 5 drinks. Not so much after 9, though. He gets a little weepy and mean. He's a drunk, Meredith. He probably came in and told you how wonderful you are. How sad he is that he doesn't get to spend more time with you. Yesterday, he said that I was his favorite daughter. The day before, I was an ungrateful bitch. The week before, he wrote me a check for $20,000 because he said I deserved everything life had to offer. Because he was so proud of me. A lifetime's worth of proud. So you can't listen to anything that he says because it's not about you. It's about a pint and a half of Doers. So thank you for letting me know that I need to keep a better eye on him. Thanks.
This is the other side of the speech that Meredith had about, you know, connecting as the sisters. This is when they weren't friends yet, weren't sisters yet. And this is kind of Lexi saying, you know what? Yeah, he was great when I was growing up, but since Mom died, he's kind of been falling apart, and he's been drinking, and he sucks right now. And it's not just a case of me not watching him, it's a case of I don't know how to watch him, and it's really hard to watch Lexi kind of fall apart in front of Meredith because she's tried to really get Meredith on her side and it hasn't been working. So this was a really hard one to watch, but I really liked how they did it. This is the Meredith eye for an eye speech when the gunman is pointing the gun at Christina's head while she's trying to operate on Derek.
Shoot me. You want justice, right? Your wife died. I know what happened. Derek told me the story. Lexi Gray is the one who pulled the plug on your wife. She's my sister. Dr. Weber, he was your wife's doctor. I'm the closest thing he has to a daughter. And the man on the table, I'm his wife. If you want to hurt them the way that you hurt, shoot me. I'm your eye for an eye.
I think the speech kind of once again shows us that Meredith is the center of all of this. She's the wife, she's the sister, she's the friend of the surgeon, she's the daughter of the guy. I mean, she's kind of everything, and it really kind of puts that back in perspective that this is all about Meredith somehow. Even if she's not involved in it, she's involved in it. This is Arizona's Do Not Alarm, the makers of the Tiny Human speech.
Well, that's a joke, right? It's a drill or something? Okay. It's no joke.
Everyone. We're sealing the floor. I don't know why, and it doesn't matter why, but nobody goes in or out past the double doors. You check on your own patients, and then you come back and check and see if there's any others in the queue. We don't have a lot of hands on deck. And people, do not alarm the makers of the tiny humans. They will eat you alive.
It would have been really easy for me to pick the Good Man in the Storm speech, and I love that speech. It's one of my absolute favorites. But I picked this one because it shows Arizona in her role as the head of the Department of Pediatric Surgery. You see Arizona as the head of the department, and you see her take control. And I love seeing Arizona in that role because we don't see it very often. And I love that, you know, she throws in the makers of the tiny humans. You know, she gives her little, you know, Arizona-ism out as she's giving her, you know, big important, you know, the floor is locked speech, and I love her for that. So the last speech I wanted to throw in here is Meredith's She Was an Extraordinary Surgeon speech.
Tell me. She was a surgeon. She was an excellent surgeon. If she was really trying to kill herself, she wouldn't have slit her wrists. She knew better. She would have taken the scalpel and cut her carotid artery. It would have taken seconds to die. She didn't really want to die. She was an excellent, gifted, extraordinary surgeon. She didn't want to die. What did she want? She wanted Richard to come back to her. Why didn't he come back? Well, because he never knew about it, and she was too stubborn to ask.
What does that mean?
Well, that part I don't know. Could you just tell me that part for once? I can.
It means that you are a gifted, talented, extraordinary surgeon, exactly like your mother, but the difference is you get to learn from her mistakes.
Be extraordinary. She wasn't talking about surgery.
No, she wasn't.
She wasn't talking about surgery at all.
Meredith's whole life, her mother has been kind of this bane, this thorn in her side. She's never been good enough for her mother, for Ellis. And I think at this moment, Meredith sees that Ellis wanted her to be extraordinary in other ways, not just medicine. And it kind of clicks for her, and she gets why she was pushed so hard and all these other things. And I kind of love that realization that comes over her as she figures this out. I'd like to thank you all for listening, and I will be back in a couple days with a new mini-cast. I'd like to invite you guys to comment, because comments really are how I figure out how I'm doing. So please comment.